Is heaven really real? Or is it just a concept? You know, there are a lot of folks who would tell you that heaven is just a concept. It's not really a real place, that it's just an idea, you know, just a thought, just something positive that we dwell on, and it's not really a literal place or a literal existence. It's not really real, it's just a concept. Well, if heaven is real, do you ever feel like it's the impossible dream? Do you ever get so low that you think that there's no way I'll make it to heaven? Do you ever struggle with the difficulties that life brings to you? Struggle, I'm talking about, to the point at which you're ready sometimes to throw up your hands and just say, it's no use. I'll never make it. What about the young housewife who stands and looks at a sink full of dirty dishes, and in the floor of the kitchen there's a pile of dirty laundry that should have been dealt with 3 days ago, and an 18-month-old child in the next room screaming her head off, and just this morning we found out that we're pregnant again. For the past solid 2 weeks, she and her husband have been fighting and arguing about money, finances, and some problems with some of the family members. Or what about the young man who, a new convert and just absolutely full of zeal, ready to take on the world for Jesus, until he comes face to face with some of the attitudes of bitterness and, let's just say it, pure laziness on the part of some of the members of the congregation where he worships. And in fact, 2 or 3 families he just found out yesterday are talking about leaving and going somewhere else because of something that the preacher said. Just the other day, as he pulled up to the grocery store, he saw one of the so-called prominent men of the church coming out with a 12-pack of beer. And it's not just the sins and the neglect of others that's causing him difficulty, because he's got and has had for several years now a tremendous struggle with the sins that grow out of an addiction to pornography. Just last week, he stumbled again. He feels so terrible for that. He's really close to drawing the conclusion, there's no way I can make it to heaven. There's just no way. And so, that's why I ask the question. Number one, is it real? Number two, do you ever feel like it's the impossible dream? We'll get Brad to stand up and lead us in one more song that goes right along with what we're talking about tonight, and I would like for all of us to pay careful attention to the words of this song, will
you? Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me, so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? Is it for me thy welcome, thy gracious enter in? For me thy come, ye blessed, for me so full of sin. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? O Savior, precious Savior, my heart is at thy feet. I bless thee and I love thee, and thee I long to meet. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? I'll be with thee forever and never grieve thee more. Dear Savior, I must praise thee and love thee evermore. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore?
Did you notice something about the first two verses that's different from the last two verses? The first two verses are questions. And at the heart of those two questions, my sinfulness, my inadequacy. Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me, so weak and sinful. Oh, shall I be so blessed? Is it for me, thy welcome, thy gracious enter in? For me, thy come, ye blessed? For me, so full of sin? The fact is, there's not a single one of us who ever have been or ever will be worthy of heaven. That's why Jesus died for us. That's why Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, because Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. The righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Folks, you know what that means? That means if Jesus had not died, we couldn't go to God. In his dying, he brought us to God. Is it for me? Is it really hopeless? The Bible is a book that's full of hope. The Bible gives us hope, the anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast. That's Jesus, which hope we have. Not hope as in wishful thinking, but hope as in something that can be counted on, as opposed to no hope. The Bible gives us great hope. I want us to look at two or three things tonight about the subject of heaven. The rest of that whole song is all about hope, isn't it? Oh, Savior, precious Savior, my heart is at thy feet. I bless thee and I love thee, and thee I long to meet. I'll be with thee forever and never grieve thee more. Dear Savior, I must praise thee and love thee evermore. Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify? Praise thee and love thee evermore. As I say, there are three things about heaven that I want us to look at tonight. And the first one is suggested to us in this title, Heaven is Truly Real. Heaven really is real. Don't let anybody tell you different. Don't fall for that idea that just because we haven't seen it, just because it's not something that we've experienced, just because it's something that's beyond our understanding or our ability to relate to, must not be true. Hogwash. It's really real. Heaven is real. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. And let's notice what verses 3, 4, and 5 says. Or say, I guess, would be more proper. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, Peter says, is reserved for you. You ever had reserved tickets to anything? You ever had reserved seats? You ever got to your place, to your seat, and somebody else was sitting? It happens to me all the time when I fly. That's one of the things I hate about airplanes. You know, somebody's always got my seat. The bad thing about airplane travel is that when somebody's got your seat, they're usually so comfortable, you got to stand there and argue with them to make them own up to the fact that it really is your seat. And yes, they're supposed to be sitting back there on the back row right outside the bathroom or right there up against the jet engine hanging on the wing. And it usually takes a pretty good ordeal. You have to get the steward, the flight attendant, whatever involved in it, and referee the whole thing just to get your seat. But that seat is for you. It's reserved for you. It's in your name. You've got a ticket standing there holding that thing, your boarding pass, and it says your name, it says your seat, and he's in your seat. Big deal is to me. Peter says, this inheritance we have is reserved for us, and nobody else is going to get it from us. We can give it up, but nobody can take it away. That's the reality of heaven, that fadeth not away. And not only that, but he goes on to say that God guards us through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You know what that means? That means that our salvation is done and settled insofar as the providing of it. God, whom we have great faith in, and it's through our faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ that we're even able to approach this thing. But God has that salvation ready for us. And you know, we speak of being saved, being lost, being saved while we're still alive. Are you saved? Yes. Are you saved? I don't know. This is talking about the ultimate final salvation when we have crossed over the chilly waters of death and the eternal home in heaven is for us. That's the salvation that it's talking about here, I think, ready to be revealed in the last time. And it's reserved. It's waiting for us. Nothing can happen to it. It won't fade. It's not defiled. It's not corruptible. It's there for us. Heaven is real. Furthermore, heaven is not made up of a dream or some kind of concocted story or some kind of myth. I'm not saying that we know the answer to every question about heaven, because there are a lot of questions we don't know the answers to. But heaven is real. Paul spoke of it in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 when he speaks of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised in earlier times. This eternal life, heaven. Now, there are some folks who reject the idea of heaven. And I think a lot of people reject the idea of heaven because they think this world has it all. They're not really interested in entertaining the importance of something beyond this world. And I'm sorry to say this, but that's exactly how the devil wants us all to believe. He wants us to think that this world is where it is. This world, this existence, this life is all that's worth worrying about. As long as we're happy here, as long as we're content here, as long as we've got what we want here, don't worry about anything else, because this is where it's at. That's bad grammar, but you've heard that said before, I know. This is where it's at. The Bible says, no way. This is not where it's. In fact, every time you turn around in Scripture, you find the Bible describing this life as being transient or temporary or something that's going to pass away, which is but for a moment, which fades like grass. Passing pleasures. We could call to mind a dozen other terms and references the Bible uses talking about this life and the permanence of life on earth. It's not permanent. It's temporary. That which really matters comes next. And it really is real. Number two, I want us to think about the fact that heaven is a place of newness. And if you will, turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3:1 There is one reoccurring word that the Bible keeps using in talking about eternal life and heaven, and it's the word new. New. Heaven truly is a place of newness. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 11, Peter says, "Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements that melt with fervent heat. But according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Everything about heaven is going to be new. It's going to be a new location. It's not here. We can't really pull a map down even a map of the universe and put our finger on a spot and say, hey, heaven's going to be right there. But we do know the fact that it's going to be a new location, new to us, not anywhere around here, not anywhere we're familiar with. A new location. There's also going to be new character about heaven. It's all about righteousness. There is no corruption there. There's no unrighteousness there. There will be no, and John gives a list of common sins of the day. Revelation 21, verse 8 is one of the references where we find one of those lists. It's that verse where he says, and even all liars shall be in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There will be no sin in heaven. There will be no injustice. There will be no unfairness. There will be no sadness. There will be no sorrow, no tears, no sickness, no dying. New character. New duration. Everything we know about here has an expiration date. Now, we may not know what the expiration date is, but even you and I have an expiration date so far as our lives on this earth are concerned. None of us is promised a long life. Many of us are granted long life. But there's nobody who can say right now, well, I've been promised I'm going to live another 40 years. We just don't know. The duration of our lives on this earth will come to an end. The duration of heaven will never end. In that sense, in that very important sense, heaven is new. That's a newness about heaven that, quite frankly, I'm just fascinated with. The idea that nothing will deteriorate, nothing will grow old. As the song says, never grow old. Not only that, but heaven is also a place of new nature. The nature of heaven is immortal. Immortal. There's a good discussion on mortality in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul sums up by saying this mortal shall take on immortality. And again, it goes back to all of those things we talked about where life on this earth is afflicted with problems and troubles and expiration dates and sickness and sorrow and sadness. In heaven, there won't be any of that stuff. And then, in heaven, there will be a new disposition. A new disposition. What is your disposition going to be in heaven? I can tell you in one simple word, it's going to be joy. Nothing but joy. You know, this world and this life has its problems and troubles and challenges. And even for us who are trying our best to live the Christian life, and even for some who are really struggling with some things like I talked about at the very beginning, there won't be any of that in heaven. It will all be joy. What a wonderful place. That place of newness. And here's our third point. It is for me. Yes, it is for me. Absolutely. Passage we read this morning, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is preparing that place for us, for you, for me. It's not a generic preparation. He's not going through there building spec houses and everybody will just come and find one that suits them. No, that's not my idea of what heaven is all about in his Father's house where there are many mansions. I think there's one that's being made especially for me and for you. A prepared place. That's a concept. I've got to believe that the Lord knew how important that concept would be to us. Therefore, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, how blessed it will be to live in heaven. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That's what that verse says. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. There is no way human words can express the significance of the blessings that will be applied when we're living in heaven, where we will rest forevermore from our labors. There is a song that I want to share with you. I bet Stephen Foster knows this song. Maybe he'll teach it to us one day. But listen to the words. When the days of toil have all gone by, and I, my dear Lord, shall see a word of welcome when we shall meet, I know will make heaven for me. The Father's house, the mansions fair, my home shall forever be, but one sweet word from the Lord I love, I know will make heaven for me. He saved me from my lost estate. From sin he has set me free. And just to see him when he shall come, I know will make heaven for me. Heaven for me, oh, it will be when Jesus whispers a welcome to me. Is it for me? I hope some folks didn't read that on the back of the bulletin as a sermon title and think I was challenging them to decide whether or not they wanted to hear another sermon or not, you know. You didn't because you're here, and I appreciate that. Is it for me, O Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me so weak and sinful? Shall I be so blessed? Absolutely. It's for me and for you. Oh, how wonderful it will be. But only if we serve the Lord, only if we live our lives in obedience to his will, only then can heaven be for us. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ right now, don't wait any longer. Don't put it off. It's far too important. If you've been unfaithful and need to be restored, come now and seek the forgiveness that God is offering freely. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing. From day of